big smoking deal. Or, I'm picking on folks now. I've just been promoted to general. Well, when you get down to a private, well, not even a private, God wants to reveal to us that we are already somebody. It's not your achievements that make you great. God made you great from the beginning. We have to be willing to accept our greatness. He died for us because of our greatness. Because of His love for us, He offered Himself a sacrifice. We are a great, wonderful people. We've been baptized and confirmed. You're going to learn this week that you're apostles. You're going to learn this week that you are a royal priesthood. You're going to discover, some of you will discover for the first time, that you are a priest. Pope John Paul II refers to us as the common priesthood. The common priesthood. The baptized and confirmed. Everybody that is baptized and confirmed in our church is a priest. Isn't that good news? Everyone baptized and confirmed into this community is an apostle. Everyone baptized and confirmed into this community is a king. And you can't get no bigger than that. You're as big and as great as you'll ever be. Our problem is we have been sold a bill of goods for the world, and we have desired to make and achieve success in this life. There is no success in this life apart from discovering who you are in the words of Almighty God and being powered and inspired by these words as you listen and obey, being transformed into the image of God. That's greatness. Amen. Aren't y'all excited? As we are. Well, you'll be able to express yourself at the end of the week. Some people are embarrassed. Oh, don't do that. You know, you're embarrassed. You know why you're embarrassed? Because you don't know who you are. Can you imagine somebody embarrassing me? I mean, try. When you know who you are, when you've been born of the Spirit, when you've been baptized and confirmed, when you know that you're a king, when you know that you're a royal priest, when you know that you're an apostle, when you know who you are and you know how to live and you know where you've come from and you know where you're going, I mean, you can't mess with a guy like that. You just can't. If we're reading, what I am reading is written about me. It was written to me, and it's written about me. If we're reading the words of Jesus, we should read them as personally addressed to me. So whenever you read His words, don't read them for somebody else. Read them like God Almighty is talking directly to who? Isn't that good? Isn't that easy? I mean, this thing is so easy. Try living it. I mean, the principles are so easy. I mean, well, we can give it to you in 15 minutes, but we're going to take a whole week to do it. Because we'll hit you over and 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 over. And after about the third or fourth day, it'll start, our minds are really very sick. And the only reason I know that, because I've got the sickest one of all. I mean, I got to hear something 1,000 times, and then I got to say it 2,000 times, and only then can I begin to think, well, maybe I believe that. And it's only through saying it that I can believe it. If you're never saying it, you ain't believing it. Y'all aren't mad at me, are you? I'm not picking on you too hard. Amen? Just a little bit. Now listen to this. If we're reading the letter from Paul, we should read them as if they were written to me and as if they were delivered by Federal Express this morning. Now, does that put everything in the now? God is the now God. If you're living off in tomorrow, folks, that is a fantasy. That's only your mind can get back there because your body can't get back there. And if you're living in next week, only your mind can get over there. Your body can't get over there. Your body can only get in the now. If you don't believe it, try to get it out of right now. Try. You can get your mind out of now, but you can't get your body out of now. It's in the now. Amen. God is a now God. These words are for now, and as we listen now and obey now, we begin our transformation. That is a process, and it will go on forever and ever and evermore for His good pleasure. We will never know the fullness and the complete love of God, because the minute you experience that, you would be bored sick. God said He would be revealing Himself to us forevermore. The transformation of our mind and our heart and our soul, our energies, all that we do and all that we say, begin now. They don't begin tomorrow. So now is the time that we make the decision. It is in the now that I commit myself to listen and obey. It is now that I commit myself in obedience to the Word. It is now that I put myself in obedience to the authority that's supposed to teach me the Word. It's in the now that I do that. I don't do this tomorrow or yesterday. So all of you wonderful people that are giving God this idea, God, when I retire, I'll go to work for You. Forget it. Oh, you well, I get my kids raised, and I get this done, and I take care of this over here, that over. Then I'll commit all of my time to You, God. That's a bunch. You're off in a. I mean, it's just like God going to wait around you get everything just right. Is that sick? That's the sickness of our mind. He's going to wait around till we do our thing when His thing has already been done. And our thing is to live in Him. In Him, not for Him. In Him. There's a big difference. We live in Him. So, we listen and we obey. And as we read the Scriptures, we take the approach that what I'm reading is written to whom? As we begin our reading of Scripture, we must take the approach that what we're reading is written to whom?
Me.
As we begin our reading of Scripture, we must take the approach that what we are reading is written to whom? All right. It's okay to get excited around here. But I promise you, there ain't nobody going to criticize you for getting excited. It's written to who? All right. Now, I'm going to go right to the heart of the matter. I'm going to give it to you the very first day. So those that come in Monday, they'll get it Monday. This is so easy. There's only one place that Jesus preached to us. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. There is not two messages in Scripture. There is not conflicting reports in Scripture. God, according to the magisterium of this church, the teachers of this church, the bishops of this church, they tell us that the great charter, the great Magna Charter of the kingdom is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. They tell us that these are the demands that God puts on us as we listen and obey, as the word speaks to me, I am transformed out of my old carnal ways, my own sick mind, into the magnificent mind of God. And my ways will become different. My attitude will become different. I will come a child of God. It is a process. And it seems like the closer or the more I know about the process, the farther I feel like I'm away from God. Every time I feel like I make one little close inch to Him, I just fly. I find myself 500 miles back, and I'm the process. Don't ever be discouraged with your process. No man comes to the Father unless he be drawn by the Spirit of the living God. And you cannot come any faster than the Spirit of the living God draws you. Be content with where you are. But know this. These are the words that we listen to and obey. These are the words that God has spoken to us that we should get thrilled over and excited about and begin to practice them. Before I read them to you, I've got a oh, here it is. I got this the other day, and I just, I get things like this not all the time, but I get them, and they thrill me. And what this is, these are a bunch of kids. This is an eighth grade teacher teaching small children, and this teacher has come through this school about three times, and any time I get to Indiana or Illinois, she's always there listening. And what she heard me say one day was this: if you are living, if you are committed to living the Sermon on the Mount, all of Scripture is revealed through that revelation. Through those words, God reveals Himself. The personality, the life of Jesus, His attitude is revealed in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes. And if you will pray the Beatitudes, if you will begin to pray the Sermon on the Mount, if you will pray that in your life, God has said He would surely hear your cry and answer your prayer. Listen to this. Ever since I attended your school in Pensacola in June of 92, I have been practicing, crying is lying, you know. I have been practicing. Since that first school, I have listened to you many, many times, either in person or on tape. And I have passed on your words of faith to my eighth grade students. Every day we pray this prayer, Jesus help us to love our enemies. Jesus help us. Now this is a teacher that's teaching eighth grade students, and she says every day for the past 2 years she's been praying this prayer with them. Lord Jesus, help us today to love our enemies. Help us to do good to those that hate us. This is the nature of God. These words, I promise you, will transform you. These are the words that we're called to repent to. The word repent means to change our minds. We, most of us, hate our enemies. Jesus said, love him. Bless those that curse you and pray for those that abuse you. How many of us are doing that today? And we're all being abused. God knows today the very thing that we need, and He has placed in our life people that are abusing us. It may be a husband. It may be a wife. It may be a husband and wife to children. It may be children to the husband and wife. We know that abuse in this nation is paramount. We know that. It's something that's absolutely evident, and everybody's affected by it. Every one of you in this room is being affected by it today in some degree. In some degree. Abuse. How about praying for those that are abusing you? This will transform your mind. It is the very heart and attitude of God. This is the message that he brought on the cross. This is what got him killed. This is what raised him from the dead. It's the words of God. Listen to the letter. Really tried to live by that love your enemy, and last year I got my chance. It takes a while for a kid to discover who their enemies are. I got my chance. There was a girl at school that was a year older than me and did not like me for many reasons. Y'all know, if you got kids in school, you have no idea what they go through. And they come home and go through some of the same abuse. When we have to switch classes at school, she would walk down the hall and call me names, and I would just smile at her. Isn't that good? This is an 8-year-old girl. We just had a 14-year-old girl. That's 14 years old. We just had one kill another one in the school bus, stabbed her with some scissors and killed her. She never heard this message. We have kids killing one another all over the United States because they haven't learned who they are. They've not learned how to live with one another, and it's because we haven't taught them. It's my fault. She would walk down the hall and call me names, and I would just smile at her. At recess, she and all of her friends would make fun of me. But I never told on her because I actually started to feel sorry for her. If you begin to move into the reality of loving your enemy, God, in some miraculous way, will begin to let you have compassion for those that would abuse you. Even to the point of tears. At recess, she and all of her friends would make fun of me, but I never told on her because actually I started to feel sorry for her. I would pray for her at night. Isn't that something? This is a 14-year-old girl. I would pray for her at night. And when she had an operation, I sent her a get well card. Now, this is a little girl that's made her life miserable. Totally miserable. And she's praying for it at night. She had an operation. She sent her a get well card. And listen to this. And while this was all going on, I kept thinking, love your enemy. This girl is in my high school now, and I wish I could say we are friends now, but I can't, because instead of hating her, we just pray for her. The only good thing I really can say is that her friends are not mean to me anymore. Isn't that amazing? Let me read you another one. When Mrs. Pritchett told me about love your enemy, I really didn't think it would work. Hello? Oh, that'll never work. I mean, it's like I'm smarter than God. I got something that'll work. God doesn't have any idea what he's talking about. That's the insanity that we're living in. This little girl admits it. She said, I didn't think it would work, but I know now that it does. We had to have practice one night, and the other girls didn't show up. I was kind of mad, but I kept my cool and didn't blow up. I'm very proud of myself. See, when you teach a child these simple words, you know, God said one of the things that Jesus delighted in was that the children, this message was revealed to them. Revealed to a child, and he's telling us, unless we become as these children, we can forget it. Amen. Listen to this one. This love your enemy saying has helped me because I have been having trouble with one of my teachers, and today in class she made me mad, And I could have told her what I thought, but I remembered the love your enemy prayer. I remembered. I turned down the opportunity to say anything bad, and I just went on with what she told me to do. Thank you, Charlie, for passing on that prayer. I will try to pass it along too. She's become an evangelist. Folks, this is evangelization. It doesn't take a real high-powered mind trust up here to scream out, love your enemy. God, you know what the word catechism means? Catechism means to echo back faithfully. Anybody can echo these words out. And if you begin to echo them, if you begin to pray them, I can assure you that there's something in these words that begin to do something to our mind and our heart and our spirit and our very soul. And in that, God begins to transform us. It is called a mystery of salvation. I don't understand it. I just know that it works. It's the thing that runs this school. The school lives with these principles. Now, we don't do too good of a job of it, but we're able to live it because we preach it every day. And the days that we don't live it, we're quick to recover and ask for forgiveness and go on. Amen. Let me read you one more, and I'm going to let you go. We got to go to a wedding. Is it 4 o'clock? What time is the wedding? The wedding is at 4:15? I got 20 minutes. Aren't you already excited? You are. Folks, these are the most exciting words that you'll ever get into. These are life-giving words. These words are spirit, they're life. And in our fallen nature, from the beginning of Genesis, in our fallen nature, these words are ridiculous to the world. They are absurd, they are ridiculous, they're illogical, according to the world, this will not work. We have to be more prudent than this. I'm going to tell you, when you get more prudent than God, I don't want to be around you too much. Because you're nothing but trouble. A few times out of many, my mom and I have had been in many arguments, and I wanted to yell something out, but I didn't. I thought to myself that it wasn't worth it, and I just listened. At other times, I succeeded at first, then I lost it. So I still need work. I'll tell you what, I'm gonna leave these out this week. All of you need to read, because I don't have time to read them all, but they're just absolutely what we teach here. You'll try it, you'll fail, but we have a mediator before God. He doesn't declare us guilty. He said, I'll give you another opportunity to try it again. And he'll try it again, and you'll try it again, and you'll go over and over and over, and after a while you begin to get a few things right, and something inside of you will just explode. Just explode. I got to read you one more. I want to find the one about the sister, if I can. I'll read this one. It's a short one. Love your enemy has helped me to keep my cool with my brother when he bothers me while I'm doing my homework. See, homework is very important. Love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those that treat you badly. To the man that slaps you on one cheek, present the other cheek. When the man takes your coat, give him your shirt. Give to anyone that asks, and do not ask for your property back from the man that robs you. You're going to hear that all week. If you're up to date in Scripture, Scripture tells us that God knows what we need already, And those things are already in place for us to begin to practice our faith. Our biggest problem is we've tried to pray them out of the way. Oh God, give me another wife or change this one. I am not going to take this husband anymore. I'm sick and tired of him. Send me another husband. The one that you have is the one that will bring you into a full knowledge of faith if you are able to keep him or keep her. You'll practice. This is where you do your practice. This is what it is to practice being Catholic. I used to think it was going to church every Sunday. No, it's not beating up my wife. It's not screaming at the kids. It's serving my family. That's practicing your faith. It's loving your family. Your family, according to Scripture, Jesus said a man's enemy will be those members of his own household. You don't have to go look for them. They're already there. In fact, if you're still sleeping with your wife or husband, you don't have to go no farther than the bed. I mean, it's right there. You can reach out and touch them. Amen. You don't have to go anywhere to find your enemy. One last thing. I know that in our first session, this always happens. Some of you have already formed some really raunchy opinions about me. I mean, you look up here and you say, who does he think he is? Now, this week you're going to find out who I am. I won't take time to tell you now, but let me say this to you. For all of you that have already found something wrong with me, the only thing you can see wrong with me is what you've got in yourself. You need to repent. You're looking at an original masterpiece of God. In fact, I look just like the Father. I was created in His likeness and image. Amen? Amen. He was short and fat. And he was tall and skinny. And he was bald-headed, and he had a lot of hair. I mean, he's the one that made us all. And God's called us to love one another. To love one another. This week, you will have many opportunities, especially those that are living in these houses that we provide. We've probably got, what, 16 people in one house? You will be challenged this week. And if you came down here broken, you have to stay there. It'll be the greatest blessing you ever got. Most people have got enough money. I ain't staying in this place. I'm going to go get me a motel room so I can rest. Jesus said the rich would have many problems. They know I only respond to a bell. So, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, O God, help us this week as we read Your Word, Father, that we allow it to become our life. As we respond to Your Word, O God, let it empower us to do good. O God, let it strengthen us and help us in our attitudes toward one another. Father, that You would be glorified in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said, say it again.
Amen.
Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.